You know, there was a time when flying meant getting a hot meal, a drink, and maybe even a smile from the crew. All in coach, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar. Today, we're talking about the latest sign that the golden age of airline hospitality keeps getting a little less golden. Delta Airlines just announced it's pulling complimentary drinks and snacks from main cabin service on roughly 450 flights. That's not a small number, and before you shrug and say you only fly general aviation, stick with me. What happens in the airline cabin eventually ripples out to how the entire industry thinks about service, value, and what passengers will tolerate. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what's actually happening. Delta is restructuring its onboard service guidelines based on flight distance, shorter routes. Roughly flights under a certain mileage threshold will no longer get the complimentary beverage and snack service in the main cabin. We're talking domestic hops, the quick turns, the flights where the crew barely has time to get the cart down the aisle and back before the captain's calling for final approach. Now, Delta's framing this as an efficiency move. And honestly, there's some logic to it on a flight that's barely 90 minutes gate to gate. The cabin crew is rushing. They're trying to serve a couple hundred people while also doing safety checks, dealing with turbulence and preparing for arrival. Something has to give. Delta is saying, fine, on these shorter legs, we'll skip the cart run and focus on the turn. Here's what you need to know, though. This isn't just about saving a few dollars on ginger ale and pretzels. This is a strategic shift in how Delta defines its product tiers. For years, Delta has marketed itself as the premium domestic carrier, the airline that gives you a little more even when you're sitting in the back. That reputation has been a real differentiator against competitors. When you're choosing between Delta and an ultra-low-cost carrier, part of the calculus has been that Delta treats you a little better. Removing service on 450 flights starts to blur that line. If you're a passenger on a 2-hour flight and you don't get so much as a cup of coffee, what exactly are you paying the premium for? The seat pitch? The on-time performance? Those matter, sure. But perception is a powerful thing, and the perception of value just took a hit. Now let's connect this to the bigger picture. The airline industry has been on a fascinating trajectory since the pandemic. Load factors are high, fares have been strong, but costs have also been climbing. Fuel, labor, maintenance, everything that makes an airplane go is more expensive than it was 5 years ago. Airlines are looking everywhere for margin, and cabin service is one of the easier levers to pull because passengers, frankly, have shown they'll accept it. Remember when checked bags became a paid add-on? There was outrage for about 6 months, and then it became the new normal. Same with seat selection fees. Same with reduced legroom. Each time, the industry tests the boundary, passengers grumble, and then they adapt. Delta is betting. This follows the same pattern. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. First and business class service appears to be unaffected. Delta One, Comfort Plus, those cabins keep their perks. This is specifically a main cabin change on shorter routes. So if you're a frequent flyer with status, you may not even notice. It's the occasional traveler, the person buying the cheapest fare, who feels this the most, and that's a deliberate calculation. Delta knows its most profitable customers are insulated from this change. This affects you if you're a general aviation pilot who also flies commercial, and a lot of us do. We fly ourselves when it makes sense, and we buy airline tickets when it doesn't. If you've been loyal to Delta for the domestic hops, specifically because the experience felt a notch above, it might be time to reevaluate whether that loyalty is still earning you what it used to. Check what you're actually getting for the fare difference compared to other carriers on the same route. You might find the gap has narrowed considerably. There's also a broader industry trend worth noting here. We're seeing a slow convergence in domestic economy class service across all the major carriers. American pulled back on certain amenities. United has been experimenting with its own tiered service model. The legacy carriers are gradually moving toward a structure where the base economy product is essentially a seat and a seatbelt and everything else is an upsell. That's not dramatically different from what the low-cost carriers have been doing for years. The difference used to be that legacy carriers included more in the base fare. That difference is shrinking. For those of us who love aviation and care about the experience of flight, this is a little disheartening, not because we desperately need a free Coke at 35,000 feet, but because it reflects a philosophy that treats air travel as a commodity rather than an experience, and as pilots, we know it's anything but ordinary. Getting an aluminum tube to fly at 500 miles an hour, 9 miles above the Earth, serving drinks or not, is still one of the most remarkable things human beings do on a daily basis. It'd be nice if the product reflected a little more of that wonder, but I'll step off the soapbox. The market is the market. Delta is making a business decision, and it'll either work or it won't. Passengers will vote with their wallets, and if this hurts Delta's brand enough, they'll walk it back. If it doesn't, expect other carriers to follow. One more angle on this. If you run a flight school or an FBO and you've been thinking about the customer experience you provide, take note. The airlines are teaching a masterclass in what happens when you slowly degrade service and bet that convenience will keep people coming back. Sometimes it works, but there's always a competitor out there ready to offer just a little bit more. In general aviation, that personal touch, that extra level of care, that's what keeps people choosing your ramp over the one down the field. Don't take it for granted. This story came out of Simple Flying, and it's worth a read for the full details on which routes are affected. You can find links and more at radiohangar.com. That's ATIS for today. I'm Tower. Fly safe out there.